Hey, well, if you're joining us today and maybe haven't been here over the past weeks, we are in a series called Just Like Jesus. And what we're finding is that really through the New Testament, over and over in multiple places, there are passages that talk about becoming just like him. At the top of your notes there are just a few words from Ephesians chapter 4, taken from verses 11 through 15, that really kind of crystallize this message in one of the most powerful ways in all the New Testament. Because what it says there is really what God's heart is. It's really God's goal for all of us. And that's this, that we will be mature. Everybody say mature. In the Lord. Fully formed in the likeness of Christ, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That we would be fully formed in his image. And that every day that we would say, more and more, Lord. God, today I want to look a little bit more like you than I did yesterday, than I did last week, than I did last year. Yes. And definitely that I did last decade, but for us that's only like a couple weeks ago, right? The beginning of 2020. But we are on this journey of growth, and we're called to look more and more just like Jesus. And like I said, this idea of growing in his likeness is found multiple places through the New Testament. In your notes there, you're going to see another verse. It's Luke 6, verse 40. And these were Jesus' words, and he's speaking about himself. He's talking to his closest followers, his disciples, and he says this. He says, hey guys, a disciple is not above his teacher. So I don't know what was going on there in their conversations, but maybe a couple of them were getting just a little bit too big for their britches or for their garment, their robes, right? Getting a little too big for their belts. And he says, hey guys, remember, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. When we are fully trained, we become like those that we've been instructed by. And when we're following Jesus, guess what that means? That as we are becoming fully trained as his followers, as his disciples, we are going to become just like Jesus. And I love this word that Jesus used here, this idea, this phrase that he used, fully trained. It actually has the same meaning as used elsewhere that is talked about in the New Testament. One of those places is when Jesus came up to his disciples when he was calling them, and they were at the seashore, like sitting in their boats, mending their nets. And that same word about being fully trained is the same concept, is that when they were mending their nets, preparing them and repairing them for the next time that they would actually go out and be of use. And you'll see in your notes there, this idea that being fully trained has to do with being repaired and prepared. I love that because there are places in my life that need God's repairing work, and that the training that he is bringing me through, this idea of being fully trained, has to do not just with my preparation, but my repairing, mending, healing those places that have been broken, where hell has come in and just devastated something in my thinking, in my understanding, in my behaviors, addictions, all those kind of things, that being fully trained has to do with that repairing work, but also a preparing work. It's just not all about being repaired. It's also about being prepared. That as I follow Jesus, that this training that is going on in my life is actually readying me to go out and represent him really well in the world. Thank God that he is repairing us and preparing us. And that is the work of discipleship. There in your notes, it reads this. This is the work of discipleship. Being fully trained so that I can be fully formed to look more and more like Jesus. In the upper right-hand corner of your notes there, you see that little diagram that we've been using. And at Santa Maria Foursquare, we use these three words to help describe this process of being fully trained as disciples. What does discipleship look like? So we use these three words: discover, develop, and deploy. And you see that it's there diagrammed in a circle because we believe that none of these ever truly end. That in the life of a disciple, you should be able to look at their life and say, hey, where are you discovering Jesus more than you had before? What's alive? What's coming alive in your heart and your mind as you're growing in your understanding of who God is, what he's said and done, and who you are in his story? Where is that growing? But you should also be able to ask a disciple, hey, what things are you developing in? Where is your heart becoming more formed to look like Jesus? And a lot of times, as we talked about last week, that development happens kind of in the crucible, like where we get into the octagon, right? Where we're fighting, we're battling it out. I see some smiles on your faces. I think Conor McGregor did pretty well in his little match last evening. Was it 41 seconds to take out the Cowboy? Right, boom, you're down. Okay. Well, listen, development has to do with a lot of those hard-fought battles that we go through. Jesus said that we're going to be going through fiery trials. In fact, we looked last week where we're told in Scripture that don't consider it strange when you go through hard times, because God is developing you. You are learning things in the gym that you're not learning in the classroom alone. There are things you will not learn. Those things are being formed, putting our trust fully in God, that even when I'm going through challenges, Lord, that you're still there with me, right? My character is being formed. My endurance is being tested and proven, that I'm going to be a person, not just of faith for a little while things are easy, but I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus and follow him every day, no matter what gets thrown at me or my family. We're in it for the long haul because we are disciples who are developing. We are putting down deep roots because the storms will come and we're not going to be those who get toppled over, right? So we're making discoveries. We're developing. And today we're talking about this third area of deployment. And you could say, in some senses, the deployment is like the goal of discipleship. As we talked about last week, you know, that discovery is like that seed, boom, coming to life. It's that germination. It's like where that seed was dormant, but all of a sudden, man, we make that discovery and that seed springs to life. Development is like that new little plant, putting down those deep roots to grow strong. But the goal is not just to be this big old leafy tree, right? We are to do what? Bear fruit. We want to have fruitful lives. And deployment has to do with having this fruitful life that we're able to give away the goodness of what God has given to us. But, so it is like the goal to become fruitful, but what we see in this circular pattern here is that, hey, when we are actually deploying, when we actually begin to give away the very things that God has given us, guess what happens? We make more discoveries. In fact, there are people who will never make all the discoveries about the Lord that they need to make and who they are in Christ's story, because what do? They sit, and their life is dormant. and they're not giving away the things that the Lord has given to them. And when we do that, guess what? We're putting ourselves in a little box where all of a sudden there is no more discoveries that are being made. Like it can't get through that barrier until we bust through and begin to give away the very things that God's given us. And as we go, we begin to learn more. In fact, you could put these three simple words to help you remember these things: discover, develop, deploy, if that isn't easy enough, right? Know, grow, and go. Does that work? No, it's like the things we're discovering are things that we come to know. The development has to do with our growth. That's the grow part. And then the go part. And there are some things that we will not know until we go. Until we get out there and do the very things that we were created to do. And then we say, oh, wow, look, Lord, look what you're now showing me. As my friend Dennis Jordan has said many times, you never know what's on the other side of obedience. And as we become obedient to the Lord and begin to give away all that he's given us, man, you never know what you're going to discover on the other side. And so this is a perpetual model, something that continues to grow as we continue to grow more and more, just like Jesus. On your notes there, let's talk about deploying for a bit. While discovery and development have to do with the inner work God is doing in me, deployment has to do with getting that out to the world around me. There's the inner work that's happening, and then deployment is the manifestation of that. It's the outer work. It's getting it out. How do I get all this goodness out of me? Well, that's deployment. This should remind us of the conversations we were having in the fall when we were talking about resurrecting generosity, because we anchored that whole series on God's instructions for how to live a blessed life. Do you remember what they were? Four words that God repeated multiple times in Genesis: be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful has to do with everything that God is doing in me, healing me, working things in me. It's like it's the repairing and the preparing, all this good stuff that God's doing. That's like me being fruitful, having a fruitful life. But it doesn't stop there, because God said this: be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication always requires sowing. It always requires giving it away so that it can grow, not just in me, but in the lives of others around me. But I want to pause for just a moment and say, as we talk about deployment, we are not just talking about being busy. One of the main things that Jesus left us with from his time of ministry on earth was his statement where he said, all you who are weary, heavy laden, like carrying big burdens, he says, come to me because I will give you rest. So somehow in this idea of discovery, development, and now deployment, we're not just talking about some like frenzied race where we just need to do more so I can be more like Jesus. No, actually, when we read the life of Jesus, there's multiple times when we read about him actually going away to that quiet place. There was times when his disciples were like, where is Jesus? We lost God, right? He's gone. And then all of a sudden they realize, no, Jesus was just out with his Father having times of prayer where there's that coming away, that rest that we are promised. And man, when we read in Hebrews, we read some amazing, beautiful things about how that God has prepared rest for his people. Is that good? So we're not talking about this frenzied busyness. In fact, well, I should probably stop there because we could talk about the difference between Mary and Martha, right? You know, these two sisters that were having a little house party for the Son of God. And Martha running around. Dust this, mop that, cook this. It's got to be just right because it's Jesus, right? But Mary was the one that sat at Jesus' feet. And what Jesus did was he actually had to kind of bring a word of correction to Martha. It's like, Martha, Martha, you don't get it. Mary has discovered something that is even more powerful than busyness. Martha missed the opportunity, one of the greatest discipling moments that would have been of her entire life. And that was just to sit at the feet of the God of the universe who showed up in her living room. But she was so busy, she missed it. So we're not talking about this frenetic rat race pace of busyness when we talk about deployment, but we are talking about finding ways to give away what God has given us. And in many ways, that is the goal. As I'm discovering and developing, like we said, there's something that is happening within me, this inner work. I'm moving from spiritual barrenness to spiritual fruitfulness. Listen to how Jesus said this in the book of John. In John 4:14, Jesus said this. Can you put that up there, John 4:14? Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Man, talk about rest for our souls, right? This is like getting into this cool, refreshing, bubbling stream, you know, this cleansing that is happening in my life, this refreshing that is taking place in my life, in my story. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in me. I will never be thirsty again. But this beautiful fruitfulness that has taken place within me isn't meant to be dammed up. It's meant to be released. And so when we go three chapters later to John 7, Jesus is continuing to talk about that living water, but this is what he says. Believe in me so that rivers of living water, those same rivers of living water that were refreshing to me internally, something was going on in me. He says this, believe in me so that the rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. So the goal is to have both of these going on at the same time. There's the inner work of discovery and development, and then there's that outflow, those living waters that are now flowing from me, bursting out from within me. You'll see in your notes there this definition. The deployment happens as we join God on his mission to the world. That's deployment. Deployment is when we are joining with what God is already doing. We're not creating our own activities. And I think that's probably where busyness comes from. Did you catch that? I think that's where probably busyness comes from is when we create our own work to do rather than joining in what God is doing on his mission. But deployment is when we say, God, I want to join in with what it is that you are doing. So we're going to answer three questions. They're there in your notes, but we're going to answer these three things. Who does God deploy? Where do we deploy? And how do we deploy? We're going to look at a couple of passages. They're there in your notes. They're going to help us discern the answers to those questions. In Luke 10, the first three verses, We see Jesus gathering and meeting with his followers. More than just the 12. These are not just the 12 disciples here, but Jesus is meeting with a larger group of his followers because it says this in Luke 10, 1 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." Interesting. So who does God deploy? Well, I guess he deploys his little lambs, right? We'll come back to that idea in a moment. But who does God deploy? I think it's important to see that Jesus did not just deploy his closest 12 disciples. Now, there are times when he did that, when he sent out the 12. But check this out. Jesus extended, he added 60 more people to the ranks of his 12. It went from 12 to 72. He was getting 36 ministry teams ready for deployment to send them out to, it says, where he was about to go and work. So he sent out these 36 different teams. But I love the fact that it wasn't just the 12. Because I think sometimes we can get in our thinking that, oh, deployment, you know what I mean, that ministry stuff? Oh, okay, well, Tim, I see you up there on the platform. I guess that's what you do. And we see Kaylin up there leading worship. We see Sergio leading missions teams. We do, you know, so we can get in the mindset that ministry or deployment is the job of the paid professionals, right? Like, hey, that's why we give tithes and offerings, is so you have a job. So you better stay busy. And that is actually really, can I say this, a perversion of God's plan. God never intended that paid professionals are the ones who do the ministry. In fact, as we've over the past weeks been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, God's really clear by saying, no, those people that I've raised up with particular gifts to help is to help equip all of us, because all of us are to be about the work of the ministry, which is what? Deployment. Is getting out there and doing the stuff that Jesus did. Getting out there and representing him in the world. And I love the fact that Jesus didn't just confine ministry assignments to his 12. No, 72. In fact, some scholars believe it's like, well, who were the 72? Well, we know that there was people following. But if you go back just two chapters before this, if you were to go back to the beginning verses of chapter 8, Luke very specifically points out that there was a bunch of women who were following Jesus. Some of them were people that had had radical works done in his life, just miraculous episodes of being set free by Jesus. They came along and said that these women were actually helping to fund the work of Jesus out of their personal resources. Pretty remarkable. And it says that there was many of these women that were part of this entourage that was going from place to place with Jesus. So very likely, this was not just men being sent out, but this was community. This was the community around Jesus where he says, hey, the two of you, I'm sending you out together. Here's where I want you to go and begin to prepare the hearts of people because I'm coming. Jesus says the job is big, but where are my workers at? Says the harvest is plentiful, workers are few. So who is ready to be deployed? There in your notes, you'll see this. It says, if God has done a work in you, you are now prepared for God to work through you. Oh, wow. Can I just let you in on a secret? The threshold is low. for those who are called to be deployed. Now listen, as you grow more and more to become just like Jesus, I think the opportunities are going to grow. But you don't have to like wait till you know everything that's in the Bible before you deploy. You don't have to wait to know all of the richness of God before you go, because guess what? That's never going to happen. Because there's always more that you'll be discovering. There's always other areas of our lives that need development, right? But if God's done something in you, that's the biggest clue that you need that now he wants to do something through you. John 14, 12, Jesus like highlights this reality when he says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." Whoever believes. Guess what? Because if you believe, that means that God's done something in you. So whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. You're going to begin to deploy. Jesus said, "Who are my workers that I'm going to send into this great harvest?" Well, it's you and me. Whoever believes. When Jesus spoke these words, he was obviously not just talking about a select few. He's talking about you. He's talking about you and me working together. If God's done a work in you, that's the biggest clue we need to realize that God is wanting to work through me as well. So that's who God will deploy. The second question is, where do we deploy? I believe this is answered really simply in what Jesus told these 72 that he was sending out. Jesus sends us, you've got in your notes there, Jesus sends us where he is about to work. Where he's about to work. Because God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for your neighborhood. God has a plan for your school. God has a plan for your workplace. God has a plan for this world, and guess what? He has strategically positioned you to be in that very space where he's about to do something good. And so he sent you there to that very place, because I don't work where you work. He put you there. I don't go to school where you go to school. I don't live under your roof. I live under my roof. He strategically put you there with all of your uniqueness, with all of your gifts, with all of your talents, with all of your abilities. Some of you speak Espanol. I do not, right? Guess what? In our neighborhoods, we need a bunch of Spanish speakers to deploy. People who have the ability to minister to people that I'm not going to be able to just go up there and engage them in conversation about their story and what God wants to do to bring life and light and freedom to them. That's why I put you there, because you have the ability to speak in Spanish or in Tagalog or in whatever other language. In other words, God has equipped us uniquely to get out into those places where he is about to show up and do good work. If you turn over your notes there, I put those five arenas of deployment. I just put those there. We're not going to talk about them. I just want you to have that to meditate on. To say, God, where are you leading me? Because sometimes it's easy to neglect the fact that we all live in homes, right? Some of us live by ourselves, but many others live with a family or with others assembled together. And we can just like neglect the fact, no, man, God wants me to go. That means like I have to leave where I am. No, it means like get out of your bedroom door. Boom. And now you're like, okay, God, is there something that needs to be deployed in me? Listen, discipleship starts right there. Our family is reminded of that regularly. Just to be honest, there are things regularly that we have to develop through. Kelly and I have this beautiful intense relationship at times. two firstborns. They're trying desperately to help the other person understand what it is that we are trying to communicate. But you know what? Listen, if we can't grow in the Lord, in the very setting in which God has called us, how are we going to get out of our house and have something worthwhile to share to the world outside of our home? But we need to consider all these different places because that's where God put us and that's where God wants to work. So, all right, what am I going to do to be just like Jesus in those different settings? And here's where we also need to be reminded that God never said the deployment would be easy. It's why he told his dear 72 friends, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. And right then, you could just see these people, like their eyes getting really big, like, what? We thought this was going to be easy. Like, because you're like God, right? Right? You are God, right? It's like, and you're sending me, so this is going to be like easy. He wanted to remind them right away, hey, this is not all going to be a walk in the park. This is like serious business. In other words, you need to take real care. You need to be mindful of what you're stepping into. There are some of you little lambs out there that ought not to be dancing with the wolves. Or maybe just get that little baby wolf. Because you're just not ready. You haven't developed strong enough yet to go on your own to face that size of a battle. There's some of you that have battled with addiction for a long time. Well, guess what? You don't go back into your old dealer's house on day one unless you got a big, big old lamb next to you. Right? And I think that is why Jesus even sent him out in pairs. Don't go alone, because you're walking into some dangerous territory. But here's the end of that little story. If you go down to verse 17, they all came back rejoicing. They all came back. They all made it out of the wolf's den rejoicing, saying, oh, wow, you're not going to believe this, Jesus, but even the demons fled when we used your name. In other words, yeah, Jesus sends us into some hard, difficult situations. He's going to deploy us in areas that are not just easy, but difficult. But he goes with us, and his name is strong. And then he taught them another lesson in discovery. Yeah, don't rejoice in that. Just rejoice that you're saved, that your names are written in heaven. Right? They wouldn't have known if they hadn't have gone. But Jesus always uses those opportunities. So last question here. How do we deploy? You'll see there's that second scripture. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Jesus is talking. This time he's talking to the 12. And he gives them six different ways to activate this mission of God. Six different ways. He says this. As you deploy, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, I'll tell you, if any of you are thinking, yeah, man, this like Christianity thing is really boring. I want a life of adventure. Well, you know, it's like, man, I don't want to give my life to God because he's going to make me boring. You read that list and you go, oh, no, this is not like a life of boredom. This is like getting after the stuff that's like they make movies about. Six different ways that God gives here to activate his love and his mission to the world. Number one, and it's there in your notes, this is again just for you to meditate on and think about, but we're called to be going people. We are called not to like live in the walls of a monastery. We're called to be part of God's movement to the world. We are people on a mission, part of a movement of God. Second, we're to be proclaiming. What do we proclaim? Kingdom of God's here, yo. The very Jesus you've heard about is right here and is available for you right now. The gospel is here and will make all the difference in your life and your family. Healing. God calls us to go and mend whatever has been broken. Whatever sin and hell have done to bring havoc in someone's life, we're to go and minister healing, to bring mending. We're to raise the dead. What do you think about that? I think that has to do, yes, with raising dead bodies, right? And that believe me, that happens around the world. I've met people who have been part of services where like people have been raised from the dead. But I think also this speaks to the fact that we need to raise to life anything that's died. People's stories, people's dreams, their spirits that have just been crushed and have died. We can breathe that resurrection life of Jesus right in. Cleanse the lepers. You know, the lepers were one of the most marginalized group of people in Jesus' time. I believe that that is different than just where he says to heal. I think this is a proclamation that we need to get after to reach, to love those who have been most marginalized by society, that God calls us to go and to bring healing to those groups. And then drive out some demons. Drive them out. Wherever the darkness of hell has begun to encroach upon and set up shop right there, we're there to say, no way. In Jesus' name, this must go. This does not belong here. This darkness, this bondage, this brokenness, it's got to go in the name of Jesus. And then Jesus says this, and it's the discipleship message. Freely you've received, now freely give. Freely, you went through discovery and development, right? Those are those grace gifts that I've deposited in your life. Now guess what? Give them away. Those were not meant to be dammed up inside of you. They're meant to be this river of life, a river of living water that would come bursting out of you. Freely I've given it to you. Freely. Now freely give.